Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Yeah, and there's a good buzz in the air because Steve Rapaski is here as well with Uncle Doug in just a couple of moments. But let me just tell you, if you're the 10th caller right now, you're going to win yourself a gift certificate from Sorgles at 412-922-1020. So let's get started, folks, and see why there is such a swarm as far as the audience is concerned today. You know, it's because of Steve Rapaski. Is that not right, Douglas? Good morning.
That's right. I like all those analogies there, Rob. Pretty snappy.
Thank you, sir.
Later on, we'll be talking to Dick Till from the Navy Tree Expert Company on why you need to water your trees after the 7:30 news break. I was woken up last night by some thunder, but no rain. I hope you got some, but I certainly need some. And yes, our guest right off the top of the show here is Steve Rapaski from MeadowSweet Apiaries and Bee Control. Steve, you saw a spotted lanternfly downtown, right?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, not only did I see one, Doug, I saw probably close to 100, which is a unfortunate sight for sure.
Yeah, so talk a little bit. I posted some pictures and some information at DougOster.com what it looks like, but how would you explain what a spotted lanternfly looks like?
It's a very, as somebody pointed out to me in one of my posts, they said it's a shame that such a invasive insect can be so beautiful. An insect that's about an inch long. From the outside, if their wings are not spread, it's kind of a dusky gray wing with spots and speckling on it. But when they fly, and they actually don't fly, they're a leaf hopper, but when they take off for short distances, it exposes the underwings, which is black and white stripes, red with black spots, some yellow on the backside. Just a very beautiful insect. It's just very invasive.
Yeah, so, you know, I talked a little bit about it. I'm trying to think. Probably at the beginning of the season here, somebody found one locally in the North Hills, and now 100 of them there. If you do find one physically, like the pest, what do you do physically to the pest, if anything?
Yeah, squish them, squash them, step on them, get out, you know, just go to town, do a little tap dancing. You know, these insects are spreading westward. Allegheny County is under a spotted lanternfly quarantine since last year. We started to see the nymphs in and around the north side this spring, and now this is the time of year. The adults are coming out. Certainly beyond smashing them, we want you to report them to the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. You can get online and do some online reporting. You can call 1-888-4-BAD-FLY and report the sighting. We need to know, or the Department of Ag needs to know where these insects are because they are a major pest to the fruit trees or grapevines, and we want to stop the spread to other counties and to other states. And unfortunately, as every other invasive insect goes, that's kind of hard to do, but we can at least slow the spread and make those reportings to the Department of Agriculture.
So what did people do when you were smashing your 100 spotted lanternflies?
You know, it's what people typically do downtown, just kind of turn and look and wonder what the heck you're doing and keep on walking. I was collecting some specimens to make up some trays and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, you're walking around just stepping on them, and I think a lot of people still aren't aware of what these gross insects are, crawling all over the sidewalk and hopping from tree to tree and It's a new thing for people downtown.
Tell me about your reaction when you saw them, because I don't know what mine will be when I finally see one.
You know, I'm a little different because my background is in biology, and I work with insects. And the first thing I did was started taking pictures, and I got excited because I had finally seen one. But that's immediately followed by that gut-wrenching feel of, crap, they're here, and they're here in force, and we need to step up our education and let people know they need to check their vehicles, they need to check their patio furniture, where these adults are going to start laying egg masses here in the next couple of months. And, you know, we're traveling the Pennsylvania Turnpike. We're using the railroad for transmission of goods, and those insects are hopping along that, and we're slowly spreading it. You know, we go... you know, if I'm downtown commuting from work and I head up into the North Hills where I might live, we're spreading those insects without knowledge. So it's exciting to see them in one side, but the reality of it is it's very unfortunate that we're actually now seeing them in Allegheny County.
I know that they go after the tree of heaven, which nobody cares about, but it'll go after all sorts of other, like, commercial crops also, right?
Yeah, it goes after roses, you know, both our cultivated and our wild roses, you know, multiflora, et cetera, our grapevines, both our commercial, you know, cultivated grapes and our wild grapes, our birches, our silver and red maples, our willows, some of our sumac. So it does have the potential to really, I'm not sure I want to say decimate, but it can certainly impact a lot of our fruit and vegetable crops in terms of grapes and things like that. So the farmers, just like the stink bugs, when those first showed up, you know, 10 years ago, the farmers are definitely concerned about this invasive insect. And we as homeowners should really be concerned because we're the ones that are transmitting those adults and those egg masses around the state and making it go further.
Besides squashing them, is there any other deterrent for them?
There is. We could use chemical applications. So as a pest control company at Bee Control, you know, we have the capability to apply some residual insecticides to the adults. So if you see them on trees or if you see them on the sides of your houses in large numbers, there are some pesticides out there that we can use to eliminate those adult populations. But for the average homeowner, smashing them, using circle traps around trees, and there's lots of information on the Department of Ag website on how to create those, trapping the adults, trapping the nymph stage, scraping off egg masses that you find, which might be on your trailer, your RV, it could be on your patio furniture, those types of places, scraping and destroying any sign of those insects is what we can do as homeowners in order to slow the spread.
Got about a minute left. What does this dry weather do for honeybees and then also for yellow jackets?
Oh, boy. So tie that to the spotted lanternfly. The dry weather, you know, reduces the nectar sources. There's flowers out there, but they're not really producing a lot of nectar. So the bees and yellow jackets are going after anything sweet that they can find. So hummingbird feeders, if you still have your hummingbird feeder out, they'll be going after that. But the spotted lanternfly, when they feed, their excrement is what we call honeydew. And it's actually a sweetness that has a sweet component to it. So you're going to find a lot of honeybees and wasps and yellow jackets and hornets all over different trees, maybe your car, places where there's potential issues, whether it's a spotted lanternfly or even the aphids produce a honeybee. So homeowners are going to start to see insects really investigating anything sweet. You know, if you have kids and a popsicle drops on the deck and melts, you're going to have insects all over that sweetness. So this dry weather, we need rain for sure. My grass still looks okay, but the bees, they're anxious for some fresh nectar so we can get some honey stored for the fall.
All right, Steve. Thanks very much. That's Steve Rapaski from Bee Control and Meadow Sweet Apiaries talking about the spotted lanternfly. I've got lots of information and pictures at DougOster.com. That phone number, if you would see a spotted lanternfly, you need to call the Department of Agriculture and tell them that you saw it. Well, Rob, are you ready for a break?
Yeah, we're ready for a break. We'll take one, and we'll be back with Doug and your phone calls next. Ah, yes, he is, and he wants to talk to you right now at 866-391-1020. Still to come, Dick Till from Davy Tree Talking Trees after the news with Josh at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Indiana, the Christmas tree capital of the world. Here's Ed. Ed, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
I have two questions. I called you early on in the year about hemlock wigelia when my neighbor's tree got it. And I told him about it. He did nothing, so now mine have it. My trees are like 25 foot high. I mean, I can't do nothing with that. Or should I just cut them down? Are they going to die or what?
No. Okay, so what we're talking about here is something called hemlock woolly adelgid. And to know that you have it, take a look at your hemlock tree, and usually on the bottom needles, you'll see kind of a white cottony thing on there. So the good thing is, Ed, that you've caught it early, and there's a control, and it's called horticultural oil. And so you buy a little thing of horticultural oil at your nursery, and you mix it up into a sprayer. You might have to buy the sprayer also, but it's an expensive pump sprayer. And then you coat that pest with that oil once now, and then maybe one more time at the end of the season. Just keep an eye on it. Because it does start at the bottom of the tree, and it's not an instant killer of the tree, and we don't even know for sure if it would kill the tree. It's one of those things that takes years and years and years for the pest to overtake a tree. So if you can get to those early, get to the bottom of the tree, get as much of that dealt with as possible, you'll be okay. The other thing is, when we have a really cold winter, that kills them back too. What was your second question?
Second question, I have white pines that they're about 8 foot high now, and they seem to be spreading at a rapid rate, and the leaders every year seem to get damaged by something. They turn brown, and so they're not going up. Should a person trim a white pine to keep it from spreading so much?
It's always going to want to reach its genetic height and width, and so in the case of a white pine, you could prune them that way to keep them relatively in bounds, but they're eventually going to want to reach that, you know, they're going to get big is what I'm telling you. So
Right.
You can trim them a little bit. As far as the damage on the new growth, that will be something you need to have an arborist take a look at. You know, when we talk to Dick Till later from Davy Tree, that's one of the things they do. They'll come out for free, take a look at a tree, and tell you what the problem is and what needs to be done. If you're interested in that, the number is 855-982-TREE. Ed, thanks very much for your call.
We're awaiting some other calls right now. We'd love to hear from you at 866-391-1020. What about watering with the heat, and not just your garden, your lawn, but what about trees, Doug, this time of year? Can you do anything?
That's going to be our topic with Dick Till. He's going to tell us. I guess I'm most interested in hearing what trees to let go and what trees to water. Because in my landscape, I mean, I'm hoping that, I know that some people got rain. Some people got crazy rain yesterday. We got nothing in my part of Ross Township. And so in the garden, you know, it's finding plants that you that you really care about and soaking them in. And I know my water bill is going to be crazy. I don't like to overhead water because you waste so much water. I try to water things at the bottom, but in your situation, you might not be able to do that. You might have too many plants that need water, and if they don't get the water they need, they're going to die. And so I've been out there, I've been working in the garden. I've got these bargains that I found. I found, this was actually at Han Nursery, I found lilacs 50% off. My wife loves lilacs. I want to put some more lilacs in. So I was working on that yesterday. You know, it was warm, but not crazy. But with this hot weather coming up, I'm probably going to suspend planting until we get another break in the weather. But I'm just, you know, I'm not going to water today. I'm going to wait and hope again for thunderstorms today and then maybe Tuesday. It's been awful dry out there and been tough on the garden. We've seen a lot of questions about something called blossom end rot on tomatoes. And so if the plant does not have the water it needs, the bottom of the fruit will turn black. That's because the plant can't uptake the calcium that it needs. Now, it doesn't mean adding calcium, and it doesn't mean adding Epsom salts. That's something we don't do. I mean, I know that old school guys, they love to put Epsom salts in there, but science tells us the salts are bad. So The calcium's probably, most probably there in most gardens, and so it's more about keeping that soil evenly moist for not only tomatoes, but peppers too. I'm seeing a lot of blossom end rot on peppers. People are sending me pictures. So it's watering, watering, watering until we get some rain. Any callers, Rob?
Yeah, we got to get to a break, though, in about a minute. You know, we always talk about how peaches can break your heart. They're not breaking anybody's heart this year. The abundance of peaches, I mean, Janoski's and, of course, Coons, we've been talking about market these Chambersburg peaches. It's been a banter year for peaches, Doug.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I got a chance to see Jessica. Jessica Wallace, who used to host the show with me, and she had me over. And as I walked out the door, she handed me a giant bag of peaches and said, please take these. Please take these. So, yes, you're right. Peaches will break your heart, except when they don't. And, yes, it has been a wonderful year for peaches. Get out there and get some fresh peaches because there's nothing like it. You know, farms in general and us as home gardeners, we only usually pick peaches one every out of every 3 years, because early in the spring, a lot of times the blossoms get zapped. So we had a good start to the season for peaches, and yes, it's just a wonderful year for peaches.
All right, tell the folks what you and Mr. Till are going to be talking about. Davy Tree Talking Trees.
Well, it's all about watering, you know, and it's all about watering trees. You know, what, how big of a tree can you let go, and which trees should you water? So we have lots of information on how to water and what to water.
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back on the other side. Davy Tree with Dick Till, Talking Trees, and then we're going to get ready for the Coons Cooking Hour. Locally grown produce from your garden to all of the farms that they buy for all 8 locations of Coons Market in the produce department. We're going to talk about recipes, tips, tricks, and more, things that you can do, even the stuff that you can put on the grill, those great veggies, corn, and more. So please stay with us for that. Heffron Tillits and Germani and you, Jim Meredith in the air chair today with Kurt Carlson, and then Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. A big story trending within the last 15 minutes. Bobby Bowden, legendary coach of Florida State, has passed away at the age of 91.
We are joined by Dick Till from the Davy Tree Expert Company. And, Dick, before we start talking about watering, have you guys seen any spotted lanternfly when you're out there?
Well, I had a client in Upper St. Clair that found one on an Austrian pine, and usually that's not one of their favorites, but he just could have been passing through, and that's where he found them. But he gave me a call, and this was pretty early on, and I called the Penn State Extension, and they just asked me all about it. I said, well, just hang on to it. If you see any more, give me a call. But right in this little area around the South Hills, we haven't seen too many, but they're in certain areas, little hot spots, and they're on their way.
Are you worried about it?
Yeah. It's there's not really too much. There's just so many of them, and they're so, abundant and multiplying, and
yeah,
they have such a wide range of host plants they like. Yeah, that's why they're asking the public, you know, keep your eyes out, make sure you don't have any hitchhikers on your cars, don't be transporting, wood or plant material. You check to make sure you don't have any egg masses or nymphs on them. It gets pretty scary because they're so fruitful and multiplying there.
So let's talk a little bit about watering. When I'm looking at my landscape, how do you determine what should be watered and what doesn't have to be watered? I mean, you know, in my case, I say it all the time, I'm in an oak forest. I've got, 100-year-old trees out there.
Right. Yeah, no, that's
I can't water everything. How do you break that down?
Well, mature trees, luckily, they didn't get mature for not knowing what they're doing there. So most of the healthy, mature trees, you don't have to worry too much. It's mainly the new trees, newly planted trees, young trees, surface-rooted trees, maples and elms and sycamores, tulip trees. When they have shallow roots, they tend to dry out a little quicker. But again, once you have a mature tree, and if it's healthy, if it's been pruned out and it has a nice mulching around it and it's been fertilized and if it's in good shape, then it's natural resistance will fight off insects and diseases.
So my first thing is
What was that?
Newly planted trees I planted in the spring. You know, trees that might be one or two years old. Is there a formula for how much water to put on there, or do you just kind of physically test it?
Yeah, a lot of times just put your finger in there and, you know, it depends how big the root ball is. A lot of times you know, just put a little sprinkler next to it and just let it run for, you know, half hour or so. If you have big trees that are showing drought stress and you want to measure it, you put a big or put a sprinkler out there and then put a coffee can out there. And when you get about 2 inches collected in the coffee can, that means it's soaking down, you know, hopefully 10 to 12 inches in the soil. And again, you know, it depends on the soil type and really how dry it is and the texture and all that. But
Being out and about, have you seen a lot of drought stress on trees? Because, you know, I think we're 2 weeks without rain.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little, you know, there's always little telltale plants, you know, like hydrangeas and stuff that'll start to wilt. And you'll see some of the trees that really love water, like river birches. They start losing their leaves this time of year. That if you look at it, you can see it's the inner leaves aren't really, the sun's not shining on them, so they're not photosynthesizing food for the roots. So the tree just loses some of those leaves to help conserve water. So it doesn't transpire the water out all those leaves. But we get calls like that all the time, even like crab apples and linden trees. You know, they're really thick. They'll start losing their foliage just to help conserve water.
Is it too late?
Yeah, when you water.
Oh, go ahead.
I would say, yeah, and when you water, you got to make sure that you don't tease them. You know, I've seen people standing out there with a garden hose in one hand and their other hand on their hip, and they're spraying the water and like, oh yeah, I watered, and I'll go and reach, you know, move the mulch around, and the ground isn't even wet underneath. So, and it, you know, it's not good to tease it. You want some good deep watering to promote, you know, deep roots. And if you just spray it on the surface, and you kind of tease them, and you keep the roots at the surface.
So as we always say, soak it in. Is it too late to apply a layer of mulch?
No, you can do that anytime. You know, it's good to, I said, keep them fertilized, you know, keep them healthy, keep the dead wood out of them. And sometimes, well, what I was going to bring up before, you know, it'll affect next year's growth. A lot of times you'll see it losing leaves this year, but then you won't really notice until next year. When you look at the terminal growth, you know, the effect from this year's drought will show up next year. But like you said, water, that's the ticket.
And then if I was to lay mulch down, now, of course, we talk about volcano mulch all the time, leave the mulch away from the base of the plant, but how thick should it be and how far out do I go when I'm mulching a tree?
Well, ideally, I mean, if you've got a brand new tree, you know, it's good to do the whole root ball out to the very edge, you know, where you plant it. And that's where you want the deeper mulch out on the edge there, like 2 to 3 inches, because that'll really help keep the moisture in and mitigate temperature extremes and all that. Even on big trees, and ideally, like in the forest, you know, there's no grass growing under the trees. And so you have the nice humus and dead leaves all under the root system. But if you got a big couple of big trees in your yard, then your whole yard would be mulch, and you know, most people aren't going to do that. But as much as you can mulch it, you know, that's the best thing for the trees.
And what else have you seen out there this year that has been, as far as pests and diseases, anything in particular that has been different than any other season?
Well, I was listening earlier when that one guy called in about the hemlock woolly adelgids, and they are worse this year than I've seen them in a while. Well, it even started last year, but this year continued on. And like you explained to them, about the cold winter, you know, we've had these warm winters, so, you know, they're not getting frozen out, and the population is just exploding. But, you know, luckily on home properties, you know, we can treat the trees. You know, the big problem is out in the woods. You know, that's our Pennsylvania state tree, and there's hemlock forests up, you know, north, and there's just no a practical way to treat them. So we're, that's another one, you know, kind of like the spotted lanternfly. Once they get a foothold and they start moving, it's really hard to slow them down.
Yeah, I did read something about some kind of fly or something that they're trying to...
Yeah, some predatory beetles.
To try and take care of the hemlock woolly adelgid. But for us at home, you know, I'm just, wherever I can find them, I'm spraying them with that horticultural oil. I know for a bigger tree, you need to do something different, right?
Yeah, you can do some systemic stuff in the soil, and there's all different treatments there. You got to take a look at it and see how bad the infestation is and what needs done. But the other thing, you had that other caller that called in about the white pine. It's called white pine weevil that'll kill the dominant peak. And it's good to cut that dominant peak out of there, because those little bores will bore down in through the dominant peak down into the trunk. And those white pine weevils, you know, they, like all insects, they kind of go in cycles. And I have seen a couple of those this year. Not really too bad, but you know, the white pine weevil's another one. Just plain aphids and lace bugs, you know, all the juice-sucking insects have kind of exploded this year. And
all right, great breakfast talk, Dick, but hang in there. We'll get back to you after the break. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. Remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, guys, thanks. Stay right there. We'll get right back to you, Doug and Dick Till. And remember, folks, you have a tree question, now would be a good time to call, 866-391-1020. Yeah, with Dick Till, Davy Tree, Talking Tree, we just have a couple of minutes left and the phones are jammed, so Mr. Oster said, let's go to the phones. So we'll do just that and say hi to Mary in Slippery Rock. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Hi. Hi, Doug. I wondered, can we grow persimmon trees here for fruit?
That's a good question. Dick, do you know anything about persimmons?
Yeah, well, it's funny you ask that, because the other manager here, Miles Stevens, just got a persimmon tree to plant on his property, and it's a young tree. You know, it's only about 8 feet tall, and that's his plan. So, you know, they grow. I've seen them down in the woods in West Virginia, and if you can find one, give it a shot, and I'll let you know how Miles does.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you say hard or easy to grow, or do you know?
You know what? The only ones I've ever seen in the woods are pretty mature, but as long as you take care of it and, you know, do a little homework on it and see what the requirements are, you know, light and water and all that, I'm sure you can get them to grow around here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, Marianne.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Let's take another call here. Let's go to Brad in Clarion. Hey, Brad. How you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, you had a guest on talking about bees and bugs a while ago, and I live out here in the country. I have a big house. I have about 10 big oak trees around, and it draws a lot of bugs and bees. And every spring, I have a exterminator come in and go through my house and basement to the attic, and outside all around, and I have no problem with the bees anymore. They just don't come around, and sometimes a fly will come in a door, open door or something, but other than that, we don't have any bugs or bees around anymore.
Thanks for your call, Brad.
All right, Brad, thanks for your call. We got time for John in Bethel Park. Hey, John.
Good morning. My question is this. How long can you dry garlic, or should you dry garlic in a cool, dark environment before either using or freezing?
You want to, you know, start out, there's a curing process that we do first. So as soon as we pull it, then we leave it actually out in kind of a warm, dry area for about 3 weeks. And then if, you know, it always depends on the humidity outside as to how well it cures and how long it will store. But when you do dry it out, you bring it back inside the house, put it in an onion bag. It lasts longer, actually, if you leave the stalks on there, if that's possible. And then usually you can get well into the winter with it. And again, as I said, it depends on the humidity when you're curing it. And then you'll start to know in the winter when it's going. You know, you'll walk in the house and you'll be some kind of strange aroma, and then it's time to freeze. And how I freeze mine is anything that's going, I'll throw it into a food processor with some olive oil, and then I'll put it into ice cube trays. You can't store garlic and olive oil at room temperature. That's a disaster waiting to happen. So that's how I store mine, freezing it. But usually, when they're cured right, and you have enough garlic, it'll go all the way through till the next year. And again, you know, it just depends on how things go while you're curing them. For your call, Dick, thanks so much for being part of the show. Remember, you can find out what's going on with your trees at davey.com/KDKA, and you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. I will be answering questions after the show. Just go to DougOster.com. If you need more information about the spotted lanternfly, also I've got pictures and information and that phone number up at DougOster.com. Ready, Rob?
I am ready.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, gentlemen, a great job as always. Thank you very much. Let me just kind of get you caught up as far as what we are doing once we turn the page and get past that news at 8 o'clock with Josh Rountree. It is another edition of the Coons Cooking Hour. Today, Joe and Frank Dantisi and I are going to be talking about locally grown produce, all sorts of things that you can do with it, tips, tricks, and more, and not just in your own garden, but all of the local produce that they have, in which they buy from a number of local farms, their produce manager, John Clemens, at all 8 locations. So zucchini, squash, we're going to talk about it all, corn, veggies. So please stay with us for that. And all the different fruits as well, the peaches, the tomatoes, the lettuce. So that's going to be a great hour getting ready for your phone calls. And someone will get a $25 gift certificate from Coons Market before the show is over. Then also today, Jim Meredith is here. Looking forward to that with the morning commentary, along with Kurt Carlson. They'll be hosting Heffron Tillotson's Your Money and You, 9 a.m. until 11, which you get a chance to phone in for the full 2 hours to get all of your financial questions answered. Then today, it's the Steelers. It's the Hall of Fame. It's the Pirates. It's the Olympics, and also the passing of a college football legend, Bobby Bowden, who died this morning at the age of 91. Stay with us, folks.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.